This is the Motion Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like more information about Motion Church, you can always visit our website at motionchurch.com. If you'd like to contribute to what God is doing here at Motion, you can do that at motionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
All right, what's up, everybody?
I'm so, like, it's such a bad habit. Shelly mentioned good morning. I was almost like, good morning, Motion Church, but it's not at all, right? Hey, thank you guys so much for joining us for our Christmas Eve experience. Thank you for bringing your families. I think what an incredible way kind of to start Christmas, right? Gathering together, taking some time just to celebrate Jesus, the birth of Jesus, the birth of Christ. Before we go any further, I want you to know if that last video was a little shocking to you, our sound guy wanted you to know that he wants you to feel the Holy Spirit. And so maybe bass is the way to do that. I don't know. Hey, so if you've been with us before, you haven't, I'll kind of catch you up to speed on where we're at. We're going to continue. We've been doing a series this month called Advantageous. Is the smoke still coming? Is it just strong? I joke and I say, is somebody vaping backstage and not telling us what's going on? So we've been doing a series called Advantageous. And kind of the idea is that when Jesus came to the earth, the Advent, it was actually advantageous for us. And we've looked at some of the reasons why that is, some of the aspects of it. The first one being what we call the humanity aspect of it. Now we have a God who has been there and done that, right? He was God in human form. He's gone through all the things that we go through. He's experienced the human experience, emotions, troubles, letdowns, betrayals, right? All of the things that we go through, Jesus has gone through those. He experienced it, so we have a God that we can relate to. And then we looked at what we called a thrill of hope, right? The reason that we have this hope, this life light that we can latch onto, right? In spite of however difficult life may be and whatever struggles we may face, we'll always have hope because Jesus is not just, Jesus didn't just bring hope, Jesus is hope, and we can latch on to that. We can find our identity in that, and so we always have this thrill of hope. And then last week, it's interesting. I was listening to a podcast this week, and it was completely unrelated to what we were talking about as far as the last H that we looked at last week. But it said something, and it talked about how humans have a tendency, they have a proclivity towards what they call hero worship. And so this is how you see, and unfortunately, some people take that and they use it kind of in all the wrong ways, right? They take advantage of people because, you know, they admire them or whatever the case may be. And so it was interesting to me that we have an innate desire to worship what we would consider heroes. And Jesus is the ultimate hero, right? And that's a good place to place your worship is in that hero, our hero Jesus. So we talked about that last week. So this week, we're going to look at the one last H as far as things, ways that Jesus coming to the earth was advantageous. And this one is kind of, it's one of the obvious aspects, but it's one of those that we don't necessarily talk a lot about at Christmas time. We usually reserve this one for Easter. And the last H is how Jesus coming to the earth actually gave access to us, for us, to heaven. Right? The last H is heaven. That's an advantage for us. That is advantageous for us. Probably the greatest advantage our lives will ever experience is the fact that we now, because Jesus came to the earth, because of the birth of Christ, because of what we celebrate at Christmas time, we now have access to heaven. And that's an incredibly powerful situation to find ourselves in. And so we're going to look at this week kind of from starting, it's interesting because we're starting at the beginning, right? The birth of Christ, and then we're jumping all the way to the end. But I think there's a reason for that. I think there's kind of a wisdom in that that may be unfamiliar that we're going to look at and kind of discover today. And it starts with a principle. How many of you guys enjoy reading books? We'll start like that, and we'll narrow it down. How many of you like nonfiction books? Nonfiction. What are books or nonfiction books? I think we just got our answer, right? So nonfiction books. How many of you enjoy reading leadership books? You like books about leadership? There's a book that came out several years ago called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And one of the habits of people who want to be successful, this author says, is to begin with the end in mind. Begin with the end in mind. You start, you're beginning the birth was actually kind of a precursor to understanding what the end was. Jesus knew what his end was before the beginning ever happened. Jesus understood his objective, his mission, his purpose here on earth before the beginning ever took place. And I think that's what makes it so powerful. That's what makes this time of the year so powerful. Jesus knew what he was stepping into, right? He knew that by coming into the earth, he knew ultimately what it was that he was here to do. He didn't come for the food, although I couldn't blame him, right? He didn't come for, you know, people just to let him down, because what would be the point in that, right? He came because he had a reason, he had a purpose, he had a mission. And so that's kind of, again, what makes Christmas so powerful, is that we celebrate the birth, the beginning, but Jesus knew in the beginning what the ending was all about. And the ending, if you don't know, if you're not familiar, it's interesting because all you have to do is look at the name, right? What did Shakespeare say? Didn't Shakespeare say something like, you know, it's all in the name, right? What else is in a name? A rose by any other name would be just as sweet. I probably butchered all of that. Shakespeare's overrated. If I don't get it right, it's your fault, right? So, but it's interesting. If you look at the name, if you look at Jesus' name, his name actually tells us what his objective was, what the mission was. Jesus, the Hebrew word, it's kind of a derivative of a Hebrew word, a Hebrew name called Yeshua. And again, it's one of the variations. It's actually comes, you can kind of substitute relative to the word, the Old Testament name that's very popular, Joshua. And what it all means, all of those names ultimately mean salvation, deliverance, to rescue. That's what the name is. So Jesus knew that because of his name, what he came to do. Jesus' name actually was just a reflection of his mission. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it says this: "She will give birth to a son," being Mary, giving birth to Jesus, "and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." The beginning was the name, right? We gave him the name Jesus. But the ending was because he's going to save his people from their sins, which if you understand kind of the whole concept, to save us from our sins is to grant us access to heaven, to eternity, to an eternal life with Jesus. So kind of, I guess, the way to wrap up this thought is that Jesus knew that his end was to save us. He knew that ultimately he was building a permanent bridge between humanity and their creator to redeem and to restore humanity to its creator. And so he began with the end in mind. Isn't that interesting? Here's maybe an easier way, kind of, I guess, the most simple way. I am a very simple person. I like books with pictures. You think I'm playing, man. I mean, I just appreciate, right, the illustrations and the visual help along the way. And so I like to think of ways to really simplify what it is that we're trying to say. And this is probably the most simple way to understand Jesus, kind of, again, the beginning and the ending and how it all works together. Heaven came to earth so that earth could go to heaven. Right? Heaven came to earth so that earth could go to heaven. Jesus came to the earth so that we could spend an eternity with him in heaven. That's an advantage for us, right? And it's especially an advantage when you consider what it takes. How many of you love to travel? Thank you, 2020. Right? Kind of, if you love to travel, this year it's been especially challenging, right? There's just been a lot of, you know, maybe disruptions in your travel plans. Shelly and I have almost been married 20 years. Next year will be 20 years. I know, I look like I'm 23, I get it. Shelly looks like she's 12, I get it. Is that a good thing? I don't know if that's a compliment or not. I was trying to compliment you in your youthful beauty there. All right, yeah, backhanded compliments. And so one of our plans was, we actually found a really, really good deal on a trip to Hawaii. And we've been, I mean, literally since the day we got married, our plan has been on our 20th anniversary or for our 20th anniversary to go to Hawaii. So we found these really cheap tickets and kind of an all-inclusive thing. And so we got them and we had it planned for September of this year. And guess what had happened? It got canceled. It got ruined. Well, how did we get off on that? I just wanted to talk about how frustrated I am. Yeah. There's a reason. Travel, I know, like basketball travel. There's all kinds of different ways that that could play in. So traveling is the issue. Traveling is the problem. So here, this is where I'm getting at. This is the problem is, so when you start to understand, when you enjoy traveling, for example, you understand that tickets are expensive normally, right? It costs a lot of money. That's the reason that we've never been to Hawaii, because we were always like, golly, it's so expensive. And so it deterred us. It kept us from buying the tickets to go to the place that we wanted to go. Now, here's what's interesting about heaven, about eternity, about our access, about our ticket to heaven. It is the most ridiculous cheap price you have ever heard of. In fact, it's unfair. It's like, are the airlines even making any money when they're giving you tickets this cheap, right? And kind of thinking of it in terms, I'll explain that analogy a little bit more in a minute. That may sound weird. You're like, Jesus is not an airline, bro. Jesus is a 747. Okay. Jesus would be a 777. Everybody knows that. 777, right? So let me explain this. We're going to call this the bad gift exchange. The bad gift exchange. Have you ever had a situation where you got a present for somebody else that didn't really match their present for you? Yeah. Awkward. Really, really awkward. I'll tell you, this is, I probably shouldn't say this, but I will. Because I'm still a little bitter about it. When Shelly and I were much, much younger, and we didn't have a lot, man, I think a lot of people who get married younger, they think, oh, it'll be easy, you know, we'll get married, we'll have all this money, because we'll put your money and my money together. And I'm like, it still ain't no money. Nothing plus nothing equals nothing. Right? And so we just didn't have a lot of money when we were young and getting started. And so, like, when we bought gifts for each other, man, it was kind of like, you know, you really put a lot of thought into it, and it was a sacrifice to do it. So one year, back when they had these things called digital cameras, I don't know if you guys know what those are. Now we have it all on our phone, right? So they had these things called digital cameras. Shelly loves taking pictures, always has, always frustrated me then, frustrates me now. But she tells me that I'll appreciate it when I'm old and I don't know who I am. So she loves taking pictures. Now, what you used to have to do is you would take your digital camera and you would take your memory card and you would go to Walmart and you would put it in a little machine and it would print all the pictures for you, right? So I was like, hey, I have a great idea. I'm going to buy Shelly a little photo printer. And she can put her digital card in there, her memory card in there, and she can print her own pictures at the house. Now, here's the problem. On the box, that was kind of like an aside. That was a minute detail. It said printer, scanner, fax machine, and copier. It was an all-in-one. It was a Cadillac. Thing was bad to the bone. But when I gave it to her, all she saw was fax machine and scanner. And 15 years later, I still don't get to live down the fact that I gave her a fax machine for Christmas. And it wouldn't be so bad if Shelly didn't get great gifts. Like, she always gets the best presents for me, and so now my present looks like garbage compared to the present that she got me, right? It's just a bad gift exchange. It's unfair. It's unbalanced. One side is giving so much, and the other is giving so little. I saw a commercial. You probably have seen this commercial because it's overplayed. Like, it's one of those, I think, they recycle it year in and year out. And it's a husband and a wife, and they're sitting at kind of the bar. She's like, she's like, hey, I got us our Christmas gifts early. And so she gives it to him, and they get, like, matching watches or something. One's red, one's black. Have y'all seen this? And then he's like, well, guess what? I got us our presents too. They're outside. Come check it out. And he bought them matching vehicles. Yeah, and it's like one is a SUV and one is a truck. And she runs to the truck and she's like, I love it. And he's like, that was and it just didn't work out. But that would be a pretty unbalanced gift exchange, wouldn't it? Like, oh, you just spent $50,000 on a new truck. I got you a $30 watch. Not so much. I think it's kind of a weak analogy, but you start to understand how ridiculous this gift exchange was. The gift that God gave us, this access to him, to eternity, to heaven, the gift that he gave us and what it actually cost us, it's a bad gift exchange. And we're on the receiving end of it, right? We're on the plus side of the exchange. And so that's kind of what we're going to look at with respect to that, is what this bad gift exchange actually looks like. Sound good? Romans chapter 8, verse 3 says this: by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, So this is where it kind of starts. This is where we start to understand what it is that we're packaging up and offering to God. It says that Jesus was sent to the earth to condemn sin in the flesh. He became flesh so that he could condemn the sin that is a result of the flesh. Now, here's the problem. He was absolutely sinless. He was perfect. And so you start to understand that it's our sin that he was condemning. And the only way that he could do that is if we give it to him. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, and I've always just, I love the way this kind of makes sense, right? The logical flow of this statement. It says, for our sake, he made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf. He made him to become sin who knew no sin on our behalf. And here's the gift. So that in him, we might become the righteousness of God. This is what we offer up, right? All of our sin, all of our brokenness, all of our failure, all of our incompetence, all of our inconsistencies. Like, these are the things that we offer up to God. And in exchange, this unbalanced exchange, he's like, why don't I just take all of these things that you have, all of your, again, your brokenness, failures, faults, flaws. Let me take all of that. And in exchange for that, why don't I give you myself? Why don't I give you eternity? Why don't I give you eternal life with me in heaven? That's a pretty ridiculous gift exchange. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says this. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. Again, we're not offering anything. We're not bringing anything to the table of significance. In fact, if you go back to some of the Old Testament language, it says that even on our best days, like the very best that we could offer up is like a filthy rag. Our righteousness, our best contributions towards giving a gift to God in that regard is like a filthy rag. It's pretty weak. But it says that he takes whatever it is that we offer up and he exchanges it again for himself. It's by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. The gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. That's a ridiculous gift exchange. In fact, you know, it's interesting, isn't it, that we always talk about how things aren't fair? Have you noticed that we beat that drum regularly and hard and loud? When things don't go our way, we want to tell God how unfair life is. When people treat us wrong, we want to tell God how unfair he is for allowing them to treat us like this. You want to talk about what's unfair? Let's talk about what's unfair. Let's talk about the fact that you have nothing to offer him and he gives you everything. Let's talk about all of the faults and flaws and sins in our life, that the sin of humanity, that he takes the weight of the world on his shoulders and he carries it, and he carried that burden to the cross. He carried our sin to the cross. That's unfair. Let's not talk about what's unfair. Let's talk about how thankful we should be for this incredible gift exchange. That's where we should kind of start the conversation, right? Jesus came to the earth. We now get to experience the greatest gift of all time, the greatest gift in the history of the world, the greatest gift in the history of humanity. It's our sin for his salvation. It's our pain for his purpose. It's our disappointment for his destiny, right? You start to see that it's our brokenness that we exchange for his life and his light and his joy and his peace. That one didn't have the same alliteration, but it's just as true, right? It's just as powerful. We exchange our guilt for his glory. That's a pretty unbalanced gift exchange. It's not fair. But why don't we play down or put down it's the unfair card. Well, let's put that down. And why don't we just accept this incredible and beautiful gift? I love the way that, again, kind of thinking about Jesus understanding the beginning or understanding the ending from the beginning. Isn't it interesting that it says that he is the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world? Like, he knew before he ever stepped foot onto the earth that his purpose here was to create an opportunity for us to spend eternity with him. And so heaven is an advantageous thing for us. With all of this in mind, again, that Jesus gave us this access to him, what an advantage it is for us. Let's read the familiar Christmas passage one more time, once again, or one more time, wherever you're from. we can try to relate to whoever you are, where you're from, right? Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 20. And let's not rush through this, right? Let's take just a little bit of time, a few moments, and really reflect on what it is that we're celebrating tonight. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. This was the beginning, and the beginning is ultimately what led to this advantage, the ending, heaven for us. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news. Sometimes. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts, this angelic choir, appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. Isn't it interesting? I love phrases, right? Things that are kind of interjected into a story, and all who heard it were amazed. But let us never cease being amazed at Jesus. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This was the beginning, right? This is where it all started. This baby that was born in inconspicuous circumstances, right? Would that be correct? Sounds good. Born in these kind of what we would consider rough and not these extravagant circumstances, and didn't have, you know, even a place in the inn, didn't have a place at the motel to stay because it was so busy, it was so booked, and so they had to go to the little stall where the animals were for this to take place. And this is how the beginning for us as follower of Jesus, this is kind of the picture that was painted. And so what I hope that we take away from this is that when we celebrate Christmas, when we take time to recognize the birth of Christ, we remember that ultimately, as incredible as the season is, ultimately, it's about what he came to do. Ultimately, it's about him coming to the earth because he loves you so much that he would be willing to lay down his life for you, knowing that when it started was just the beginning of that, right? That he would be willing to lay down his life for you and sacrifice. Greater love has no man than this, that he would give his life for his friends. And I love the way that we kind of understand the language of this. And Jesus has called us his friends. He laid down his life for us, and he's called us his friends. That is a ridiculous gift exchange. But here's the trick. It's not a gift exchange if you don't accept the gift. It's not a gift exchange if you don't actually take and receive the gift. In this case, if you don't take and receive the gift of salvation, then you're not receiving the gift, right? It's not an exchange. And so, just to be clear, this is how Scripture says that we receive the gift. It says that if anyone confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believes in their heart that God has raised him from the dead, they will be saved. This is how we receive the gift. So what I want to do tonight is I want to take just a minute. And if you're here, and maybe you haven't been to church in a while, or maybe you've been in and out of church, or maybe you've been in church your whole life, it doesn't even matter. Let's take just a few moments, and everyone, close your eyes and bow your heads, and we're going to pray a prayer. And for those of you maybe that are interested to receive this gift of salvation. Jesus, thank you so much for the greatest gift exchange in all of history. It's the great exchange. It's my sin for your salvation. It's my guilt for your glory. It's my pain for your purpose. But God, we don't actually have an exchange unless we receive your mercy and your grace. So if there's anyone in the room tonight that has not received God's grace, that has not said, God, I am a sinner, and all I have to offer you, my gift to you, is my brokenness and my failure and my shame and my regret and my past. It seems so unfair, but this is all I have to give to you. And in exchange, I'm asking for your grace. I'm asking for your mercy. If that's you and you're here tonight, will you just slip up your hand so we know who to pray for? It's awesome. God, thank you so much for your son. God, what we celebrate at this time of the year, God, the beginning, the birth of Christ, is ultimately about his mission, his objective, and his purpose. God, may we never forget that. God, may we never forget in all of the busyness of our lives and all of the hustle of our Christmas season. God, this is all about you. And it's all about your plan for humanity, God, that you came to save us. So if there's anybody here tonight that needs that, God's salvation, to take the gift that Jesus offers, just receive the gift. It would go something like this. God, I am absolutely broken. I've tried this on my own. I've tried to live life my way, my wisdom, and what I thought was best. But God, it's not working. I know that on my best days that my righteousness is not sufficient. God, I need your mercy. And I need your grace to fill my life, to fill my heart. God, I exchange. I give you the gift that I have, and it's not very much. In exchange, I ask for your grace. It is by grace that we are saved. Jesus, thank you so much for everything that you've done for us. Thank you for coming. Thank you for living and showing us how to live. And thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you for raising again so that we can spend eternity with you. We love you so much. And it's in your incredible name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen.